These amazing shingles contain a miracle asbestos bitumen plastic compound which simply won't let fire start on your roof. That's why fire checks are the only shingles rated Class A by the famous Underwriters Laboratories Incorporated. Ask the O'Malley Lumber Company, 2021 4th Avenue North, about a Carry Fire Checks roof for your home. It's 6:15.
See, I'll have the news for you in just a moment.
The Empire Tire Company, your reliable general tire dealer at 2318 1st Avenue North in Billings, presents Fulton Lewis, Jr. and his regular analysis of the day's news. In just a moment, Mr. Lewis. You are assured of honest advice and genuine value when you let the Empire Tire Company check your tires for recapping. If your tire carcass is in good condition, you can save money by having the Empire Tire Company put a Kraft recap on it. The Kraft system is exclusive at the Empire Tire Company. Master craftsmen are factory trained, certified recappers trained to rebuild your tire exactly as it was built originally. The Empire craftsmen have many exclusive scientific instruments at their disposal which eliminate guesswork. Yes, when the Empire Tire Company puts a Kraft recap on your car, you know it's good for many new miles. Take advantage of the Empire Tire Company's offer to inspect your present tire carcasses free of charge. Let their expert tire recappers tell you if your remaining usable tread is in the safe or danger driving class. Save money with an Empire Tire Company Kraft recap. Remember, if it's a tire, call Empire. Here's Fulton Lewis, Jr.
Well, let me say, ladies and gentlemen, that in nearly 27 years of active newspaper and radio reporting here in Washington, I've never seen a more fantastic day than this one has been. From early this morning, when the first news broke that President Truman had summarily fired General Douglas MacArthur, the storm broke, and as the day went on, it built up in intensity. Until tonight, most of the nation seems to be at white heat. Mr. Truman, smothered under an avalanche of public denunciation that all but paralyzed telegraph service into Washington, hurriedly decided to take over the nation's radio and television networks at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to explain to the American people. He's welcome to make the effort. If he succeeds, it'll be a modern miracle. Late today, he canceled his regularly scheduled news conference for tomorrow. Significantly, the White House admitted early in the afternoon that it was being swamped with telegrams and that they were pouring in by increasing hundreds. An official White House spokesman said that a slim majority of them were critical of the president. It was a foolish statement to make because there are too many ways to check on such a statement. Human beings handle those telegrams as they come through the Central Washington Telegraph Office. Human beings deliver them. Human beings open and tabulate them in the White House. And not everybody in the White House is entirely obedient when it comes to telling little white lies. And as the purported slim and as against the purported slim majority opposed to the president, I and my staff had established positively as of late this afternoon that the balance at the White House was 9-1 in criticism of what the president had done, and a considerable portion of the telegrams were violently critical. I called the White House, asked whether they seriously wanted to let that statement stand, that it was a slim majority. Not that I wanted to be controversial about it, but rather that I didn't like to have to call the White House a liar in so many words, but that we knew that the ratio was running 9-1 unfavorable. The reply, very politely, was, well, they had no exact tabulation, but that no attempt had been made to keep secret the fact that there were more unfavorable telegrams than there were favorable. In the meantime, we made direct contact to offices of various senators from various states to see what response they were receiving. Senator Taft of Ohio, as of 4 p.m. this afternoon, 400, of which only one was favorable to the president. About half of them specifically urged that the president be impeached at once. I found that same proportion true in the telegrams that I received, and we found that it was just about a universal percentage with all senators and representatives, although I understand that the impeachment suggestion percentage was much lower in the telegrams that went to the White House, quite naturally. As of noon, Senator Nixon of California had more than 1,000, of which two were on Mr. Truman's side. Cordon of Oregon, more than 50, all of which were bad. Martin of Pennsylvania, more than 200, all of which were bad, most of them demanding impeachment. O'Connor of Maryland, more than 50, virtually all bad, some very vehement. Kane of Washington, more than 100, with one in favor of Mr. Truman. Dirksen of Illinois, more than 250 as of 3 p.m., and only one favorable to Mr. Truman. Senator Ives of New York, as of early this afternoon, more than 400, with 12 in favor of the president. So you may get some idea of what the preponderance of reaction over the nation was. Veteran observers agree that in 25 years, no such deluge of expression on the part of the public has ever descended on Washington with such speed or volume, and that nothing ever even approaching the balance of criticism has been experienced. The most effective angle of the whole demonstration was the fact that the tidal wave began rolling by 6 and 7 o'clock this morning, all across the nation, and the White House announcement wasn't even made until 1:30 a.m. this morning. Obviously, it was humanly impossible for any individual or group to have gotten an organized campaign of protest rolling in such a short time. What capped the climax for a first stunned, then angry, then outraged American populace was that about mid-morning it developed that the socialist British government for several weeks has been demanding that the United States agree to turn Formosa over to the Chinese communists and accept the communists as a party to the writing of the Japanese peace treaty and as the proper Chinese representative in the United Nations organization. In short, this was the closing chapter, or is to be the closing chapter, in the plot that began with Dean Acheson, John Stewart Service, John Carter Vincent, Owen Lattimore, the Amerasia Gang, Philip Jessup, and John Foster Dulles to turn China over to the communists. The deal made at Yalta under the kindly guidance of Alger Hiss, and the events of today make an immortal profit out of one Senator Joe McCarthy. MacArthur has always been the prime opponent of that plot. The British Socialist Government, which Dean Acheson so deeply loves, has been promoting it for years. Now they've got it. MacArthur and Acheson have been at swords points on the subject ever since the close of the war, when MacArthur refused to accept Dean Acheson as the diplomatic representative of the United States in Tokyo. First, it was Lewis Johnson that got in his way. Mr. Acheson managed to get him. In Johnson's place, Mr. Acheson managed to implant Secretary George Marshall, who had been part and parcel of the whole Chinese communist appeasement plan. So finally, when the British are pressing for a surrender of Formosa and thereby a surrender of the entire Far East to the communists, Mr. Acheson succeeds in getting the neck of General MacArthur, the only person remaining in the way, and now the way is cleared. They said today in State Department circles they knew of no plan to change our past policy toward Formosa. That means that we do not defend Formosa any longer, because that was the Dean Acheson instruction in the secret note of 15 months ago when all this was getting into the active stage. Tomorrow morning, four resolutions for impeachment of Mr. Truman will be introduced in the House of Representatives. The Republican membership of the House met today and voted unanimously to have General MacArthur come home at the earliest possible moment to give his version of the Far Eastern situation. Along with the demand for the impeachment of the president has come a great tidal wave of demand for reinstatement of General MacArthur and, of course, for the impeachment of Dean Acheson. The president's defenders say that the principle of civilian heads of government having control over the military must be preserved, which is wise indeed, but it hardly applies to this case. In fact, the President of the United States is not in control of anything, not even his own temper in writing letters. He merely does what his so-called advisors tell him to do, and then goes back to his poker game and his piano. The head of the Defense Department, General MacArthur's supposed civilian superior, is as much a civilian as I am an Indian prince. He is General George Marshall, and if you remember, it was necessary to get congressional waiver of the law in order for him to be allowed to take his present cabinet job. And it was the same George Marshall who was sent to the Far East by Dean Acheson at the close of the war to try to force Chiang Kai-shek to take the communists into his government. So the civilian control argument is hogwash and nothing less. Throughout the day, both houses of Congress rocked with bitter debate. And out of Congress, the commitments on the controversy in public statements were, of their very source, an eloquent commentary on the merits of the MacArthur move so far as the president is concerned. Philip Murray of the CIO, the left-wing Americans for Democratic Action, the left-wing Americans Veteran Committee, sent warm congratulations to the president for his move. All of them would. But for the families of 9,000 American boys dead in Korea, 50,000 casualties, endless others with shattered bodies and frozen feet, who have been fighting the Chinese communists, the surrender of Asia to the Chinese communists must seem a mocking thing, as it does to any red-blooded American who believes in principle. Representative Brian Dorn of South Carolina, who conferred with General MacArthur only last Friday, quoted the general as saying that his troubles were coming in major part from 10 Downing Street, London, rather than Washington. Odd, but the British have 13,000 troops in Korea. We have 250,000. But the British have Hong Kong and huge financial investments otherwise. We only have the cause of right. Now, I'll have more news for you in just half a minute.
The Empire Tire Company, located at 2318 First Avenue North in Billings, is your exclusive General Tire Craft Recapping Expert. Let them show you how factory-trained experts can add thousands upon thousands of extra miles to your tires. Visit the Empire Tire Company, your General Tire Craft Recapping Dealer, located at 2318 First Avenue North in Billings, and let them add new life to your old tires for thousands of extra low-cost miles of safe driving. Remember, if it's a tire, call Empire. Now back to Mr. Lewis and the news.
Now, I promise to repeat for you tonight the 15 questions of the poll, and I'll do so if you will get your pencils and paper ready. But please let me caution you not to try to copy down the questions. All you have to do is write the figure 1 and then your answer yes or no, then the figure 2 and your answer yes or no, and so forth. Every congressman and senator has a copy of the questions by number, and you just complicate matters for him if you try to copy them. And please write nothing else on your sheet except your name and address.
and do not expect any answer to your ballot. If you have other comments, send them to him in a separate envelope, and they will be answered. Send one copy of your tally to each of your two senators and a third copy to your representative. In keeping with hundreds of requests today, I am adding a 16th question to the list. I'll explain that to you when I come to it. Now, are you ready? One, as of today, would you vote for Harry Truman for president? Two, should President Truman be allowed to continue to receive the $50,000 tax-exempt salary recently voted him by Congress, in addition to his regular salary of $100,000? Do you believe that Congress should continue investigations such as the one into RFC loans and the Kefauver crime hearings, and even extend those investigations into other activities of government? Four, are you in favor of keeping Dean Acheson as Secretary of State? Five, do you favor the United Nations being in final control of United States troops in Korea or elsewhere? Six, should Chiang Kai-shek be permitted to send his nationalist armies against the Chinese communists? Seven, do you feel confident that Europe will fight to the end against communism? Eight, do you approve of the proposed continuation of economic along with military aid to North Atlantic Pact nations? Nine, would you favor a requirement that nations receiving military or economic aid from us must agree to stop trading with Russia, Communist China, or any other Iron Curtain country? 10. Do you believe President Truman's statement that all communists and communist sympathizers have been weeded out of government? 11. Are you in favor of a permanent peacetime program of universal military training? 12. Do you believe President Truman is making a sincere effort to cut out unnecessary government spending? 13. Should wages be controlled along with prices? 14. Should the government prevent strikes in time of war emergency? 15. Perhaps a little academic after today's events, but here it is anyway. Are you in favor of calling General MacArthur home for a report to Congress on the Far Eastern situation? And here is the 16th question. In response to many requests today, if you are making out the poll for the first time, add it to your list and write 16, yes or no. If you have already sent in your answers to the first 15 questions, you can just put the figure 16 and your answer, yes or no, on three postcards and send them in as a follow-up on your original poll. Here is question number 16. Are you in favor of impeaching President Truman? That's the top of the news as it looks from here.